This is the Goodfeller Show with Matt Gefeller. Extraordinary tales from ordinary males.
How's it going, party people of the podcast realm? Man, great to be back on another episode of the Goodfeller Show. I know you're curious and you're dying to know, what has Matt Gefeller been doing this last week? Well, I'll tell you, I had a chance to go with my brother-in-law and my nephew to a good friend of mine, Chris Steyer's house. Chris has an awesome shooting range in the woods behind his house. He's spent time putting in a backdrop of 25 yards. He's got two 50-yard small backdrops and a 100-yard. So whether you're shooting pistols or shotguns or a scoped rifle, he's got you covered. So I was shooting guns this week. I installed gas logs at my house, and then I got out my kayak and pimped that thing out for some springtime fishing. So, here we go.
Roll 'em.
This is the sound of freedom. This next clip is my nephew, Adam. He's a pretty good shot for an 11-year-old. He's shooting a AR-15 model with a 22 long rifle barrel. It has a handle on the front as well as a red dot and a bump stock. If you've never shot a bump stock, it's an extremely fun stock to add to the AR-15 arsenal of parts that are so easily interchangeable. If you hold it loosely, you can get 3 to 5 shots per trigger squeeze. And with the 22 caliber ammunition, it's much easier on the wallet, much cheaper to shoot. It is a bunch of fun and it is extremely accurate.
There you go. Take your time. Be smooth. Don't jerk the trigger. Squeeze the trigger like a bird. There you go. Shot, Tex.
So moving on to installing gas logs. We bought my wife's granny's house a couple years ago, and this is an old farmhouse built in the 50s. There is a fireplace in the living room, and that chimney continues into the basement. And the basement is where I put in a little game room, arcade room that gets a little chilly in the wintertime. So we had been wanting to put gas logs in the basement, fireplace, and the living room. So I said, well, put them in the basement first. I'll figure out how to do it because I really don't know what I'm doing. I had to learn all of this via Google and some very smart individuals that I work with on my team at Wake Forest University. I purchased an 18-inch wide gas log that was compatible with natural gas and propane. And in the area that I live, natural gas is not available. So I purchased a $150 tank from Main Street Lawn and Garden here in Rural Hall. It's about $150 for the tank, about $220 for the logs, and about $50 worth of piping and other
materials necessary to run that line from outside to the logs. I did spend, I want to say, about $90 on the propane. The price does vary, but for under $500, I have gas logs working right beside me right now as I'm doing this podcast. So pretty cool little project. You do have to have a flaring tool in order to make this happen. If you've never used a flaring tool, you basically clamp it onto the tubing, the copper tubing, twist the spreader or the bit into the head of the tube. That flares it out so that it will make a good connection with the nut and threaded connector for the various pieces that you'll need to adapt to the tank and to the logs. Once you've installed it, you're going to want to spray it all down with soap and water. And that way, when you turn the propane on, you'll see if it makes any bubbles. If it makes any bubbles, you definitely have a leak and you need to either reflare or tighten that nut up. But like I said, that's the most important thing, is making sure that you don't have any leaks. I did get a double regulator for the tank outside, and it was quite difficult to get it started. It took me about 10 minutes of running that propane and clearing all the air out of the lines. And I did cheat and use a lighter. A friend of mine told me that that's the best way, is to put a lighter there in front and slowly open up that valve. Once you clear all the air out of there, it will light and the pilot light will take off, and you're good to go. The thing I did this last Sunday afternoon was I got my old kayak out of the barn. I washed it up, cleaned it up, vacuumed it out, and got all the spider webs out of it so it was ready to go. I installed a rod holder so that while I'm paddling, I was able to just put that in there and have peace of mind that it was going to stay there. I also installed a paddle holder, a snap-in paddle holder. This is a cool device to have while you're fishing and don't want to just have it sitting in your lap. You can snap it there to the side while you're just floating around. Most of these items are available at Academy Sports. I think Dick's has a few options, and even Walmart has a few little knickknacks that you could put on your kayak if you have one to get it ready for fishing. The kayaks I have are about 14 foot long. I got them used, and I think I gave about $200 a piece, but they're really about $1,000 kayak, so I feel fortunate there that I got such a good kayak. They're not a whitewater designed kayak, but I have taken them down the Dan River and the Yadkin, and they certainly do fine. As long as you're not getting into class 2 or 3 falls, you should be fine. Taken them to several islands at the beach and fished out of them at High Rock and caught crappie and various species. And I'm hoping I can catch some, maybe some redfish or something in Florida this year. Going to go take a little Florida trip in the spring and wanting to take it down there and test my luck at redfish from a kayak. So we'll see how that goes. The model I have has a skeg on the back. And the skeg, you flip it down into the water. It's sort of like a rudder that is controlled left and right from foot pedals within the kayak. So it's almost like a hands-free steering device. And that is a great little option to have so that while you are trying to fish or do other things, it stays the course without you having to reach over there and paddle every little bit. Every time the current changes or the wind changes, you don't have to grab that paddle and make corrections. It is sort of like your autopilot while you're out there. Just like that skeg was keeping me online and keeping me straight and keeping the kayak on course, the Bible is meant to be a skeg for our lives. The Bible's meant to be a light, a compass, or a map. The Bible says that it's a lamp unto my feet. Not only is the Bible a skeg for us, but we should be a skeg for our brother. We should keep each other on course. Whether it's a relative or a friend at work, we should keep each other accountable and help each other when paddling's not an option. Mark 6:7 says that Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. The Bible says that he made man and a companion for him, the woman. God has designed creation so that we wouldn't be alone, so that we would have someone to always help us. Sometimes in the Christian walk, we need the Bible and we need to pray and we need to be in prayer with God, but we also need each other. It's the way that we're made.
Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered, I am in the midst." This week, let's go out and let's encourage each other. Let's build each other up. Let's keep each other on course. Go call that person that you've been neglecting. Kiss your mama. Hug a child. And love like you haven't loved before. That's all I got. Stay thirsty.